Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Graham Hart Show here on Cornwall Revolution Radio and out of grism.blogspot.com, where Mammy welcomes you to the best news aggregate site on the World Wide Web. It's good to have your company. Please join us in the chat room if you wish. Click on the HTML5 chat link at the top right-hand side of the page, just below the player of your choice. As normal, I am joined by my Out of Ireland co-host, Bryzer. Good evening to you, Bry, and I hope all is well with you.
Yes, good evening, Graham. Yes, all good here. Yeah.
And we're going very much Irish tonight, so
We are going very Irish tonight, because we just had St. Patrick's Day, and it was a big anniversary, so that's why we have pleasure announcing the two guests we have on tonight.
Indeed, with us tonight, we have the President of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, Billy Maguire. Good evening, Billy. It's wonderful to have you
good
with
evening.
Us, sir. And we also have their secretary as well, Christina, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce your last
Christina
name.
Christina Duslany.
Wow.
There we go.
Well done, Bry. Well done.
Yes, a good Gaelic name.
It is indeed. And talking of St. Patrick's Day, did you have a good one?
Yeah, not bad, Graham. Yeah, not bad at all. You know, quiet enough now.
But you won the Five Nations.
You know, the weather wasn't the best, you know. But, you know, Ireland won the Grand Slam in the rugby, so that was good. That was a nice thing to cheer about. But
it was.
Also, you know, St. Patrick's Day, for me, is just about celebrating our culture and our history, even though, you know, St. Patrick was a kind of dubious character, maybe, some people seem to say. But it's good, you know, it's always a good day, and people are always in good form generally. So yeah,
it's the one day of the year, I think, when the whole of the world enjoys saying, yeah, we're Irish.
Oh, exactly.
Because
yeah.
They all enjoy. Everyone around the world enjoys St. Patrick's Day. So, without further ado, Bryzer, I'm going to pass this over to you now. I believe, Billy, we're going to talk about. To start off, we're going to talk about the Irish Republican Brotherhood, how it came to be formed. I know it's been in existence a long time. How it came to be formed and why. So, with that, it's over to you, Bryzer.
Yes. Yeah, Billy, basically, maybe you could start off introducing yourself, and then we'll delve into the history of the IRB, how it all started, bring it right up to 1916, very pivotal moment in Irish history, then into the War of Independence, Civil War, and basically bring it up to present day, and where we're going, and, you know, the whole issue of sovereignty and all of this. So, you know, because I've heard you before many times on People's Internet Radio with Vincent Byrne, and very, very interesting topic, this, and not a lot of people know about it, and even people in Ireland don't know about it, but we want to get this message out to people worldwide, and I think people, you know, we've got a lot of American listeners here, a lot have got Irish connections, and they want to hear about this stuff, because it's been hidden from history, like most things have been, unfortunately, and so we want to get the word out. So, Billy, you have the floor.
Well, good evening, Brexit. And good evening. What is your name again, Rex?
I'm called Bryzer. That's the name I use. But you can call me Brian. Brian. You can call me Brian.
I didn't know what your name was, really. Yeah. Brian. We'll settle for Brian, so will we?
We will. After the great kick.
Christina, I'll say good evening to Christina as well, who's, you know, is one of our staunch Eileen Aherne members. And but anyway, 1858 is when the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood were founded by James Stevens at 16 Lombard Street in Dublin and by John O'Mahony in Doheny's in New York. They're a sister organisation, but we go back a long time. We go back to the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. The Hark is what we celebrate, and, you know, sovereignty, that's what we do, and the sovereignty of mankind. And, you know, we're not a religious organization, and, you know, we any religion organized that's a legal, valid, and bona fide religion, we support that religion. But we would like all religions to include the Hark. And there's no man or woman that understands God, you know. But what God gave us was the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. And they are two five-stringed harps. and they sit on the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where you go back to. And that was carried from the Middle East right across through Europe and North Africa to Ibernia, which was Ireland at the time. That's where the harp is, and your if you put up your hand, your two hands of mankind, your five, you have five fingers, they include your thumbs, of course, your five fingers on each hand, and you face the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you take your first two fingers, and your third finger, and your thumb. They are harp signs, and on your left hand, and you face the sun, and the sun grows all the bio and biomass of the of our food, and you go then and you look at the moon, and on your right hand, and that controls the moon. Controlled, you take this, do the same thing with your first two fingers, and your thumb, and you join the thumb and the third finger. And the moon controls all the cycles of life and all the tides of mankind. And all the, it's all about how you look after planet Earth and how you look after the world. And it is your intellect and reason that you understand, your five senses. That's what's so important. And you put your right hand, those two harp signs, over the two left-hand ones. And that makes the harp. And they're the two five-stringed harps that are on the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what we would like every religion to include that in their religious beliefs, and to do that for mankind. Because as I've explained to you, there's no man or woman in this world that understands God. And that's our, but we do live in his planet Earth. And for our civilization, that first string of the harp is your measuring tape, your plumb line, your straight edge. You know, it's the Om alphabet, the first structured language of mankind. You go, everything is on that. And you go to Stonehenge, choose one. It's the two harps you have to bring there. And that's what, it's your intellect and reason. And that's truth, knowledge, and information. Now, it was the Roman Empire that desecrated. We believe that that was a Celtic Christianity. It was the foundation of man's intellect and reason. It was the Roman Empire that changed those two five-stringed harps to angels. Angels are part of the Roman Catholic religion. But we were asking Pope Francis, when he comes here in August, to put back those two five-stringed harps. And up in your own coat of arms in Britain, they have the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, England, Scotland and Ireland, and I'm looking at the great seal of Cromwell, and you have the harp, and that's the harp, and that is the seal of Dol Éireann that you have up in on your coat of arms. And it's so important to know what they are. All mathematics, all science, all astronomy, everything comes from that, and your two hands, and how you're being, your own well-being understands life on this earth, and how you learn to write the abacus, and how you learn to count the strings, the wheel, that curved side of the harp, that's the feathers of the wheel, the strings become the spokes, and that little hub at the end, you know, the eye, that is the hub of the wheel for a man can travel the world, and that's how it was invented by mankind. And if you take the top of it, it's the blueprint for what we call the coracle, you call the ship. And that's how you build your ship. The strings become the lats. And then that curved side again is the keel of the ship for the Atlantic Ocean and how you build that. And if you look tonight and go out and look outside and you'll see the crescent moon, you turn the harp upside down. If anyone has Irish coins in their pocket, you look at them, put them up to the mirror. And the difference, the harp is, has only one image. But the sovereign seal, the psaltery, the Book of Psalms is the psaltery, and that's the psaltery. It has the two images. That's Anno Domini, and this is where we're getting, the information, all the mathematics, all the science, all latitude and longitude, you know, how Copernicus, go back to Galileo, Ptolemy, all those. And when I said to you, when you stand and you face the sun on your left-hand side, is the sun is rising, and that's the top of the harp. It's coming up. It's going across that curved side again is the arc of the world, and it goes down on. They didn't know in those days that the world was globular and circular. They thought it was circular and flat. But by treading the eye with the first string, which is the golden tread, and following the sun round, the top of that is the sunship, and going round and going down underneath to the darkness and then coming up in the light of the east. They had east, they had south, they had west, and behind them they had north. So they had the compass. And the latitude and longitude, the first two strings then, when they followed the sun round, down underneath, whether that's they knew that they had the world was circular and globular. And then when they crossed the strings from the rising sun to the setting sun, from north to south and from east to as we still do, you have latitude and longitude where those strings meet. And all maps are made from that. And man's clothing, you know, the strings again, you know, where the treads meet and cross. That's how man learned to weave his cloth. And it's all about our information of, and our knowledge of how we look after planet Earth and we don't destroy it. We have the capacity now to destroy planet Earth on ourselves. And without that knowledge and information and the code of practice, we call it the Codex. That's the Codex, and that is the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. And that was carried, as I said, right across through the Middle East, Europe, North Africa, right here. And all civilizations, they learn from that, and mankind, and how you look after things, and how you understand all the elements. The first four strings are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And if you look at the European flag, to most people, I said the sun, the moon, and the stars. The stars, you know this thing you see at Christmas, you see three wise men riding around on camels following a star. That's for children. That's not, that's not what that is about. To the uninitiated, that's what it is. But to the initiated people, that's Homo sapiens, following that information, following how it's the first computer known to mankind. You know, all mathematics, all science, all astronomy, how we live our life in truth, knowledge, and information, how we look after planet Earth. There's a mathematical equation there that you can work out the number, the amount of food you need for the whole world. And you never take the harp to war. It's never taken. The Hebrew people took it to war. And if you look at the Star of David, they are harp signs is what they are. And they came here, I think, in the 40s, and they dug up Tara looking for the Ark of the Covenant and all that. We know what the Ark of the Covenant is, but they lost it because they took it to war. And you're always at war once you desecrate the harp or the sovereign seal. And I said about the European flag. Those stars, the five-pointed stars, the first four points of those stars are earth, air, fire, and water. And the fifth is that Europe has sovereignty in Europe, and the people of Europe are sovereign. That's what it's all. It's all about sovereignty. Sovereignty comes from God. All sovereignty comes from God. Royalty comes from the crown and from mankind. And I think you should make a clear distinction between sovereignty and royalty. And we've had that for a long, long time, and we can go back on that. We can do sovereignty in Lochgar at least 10,000 years. And that stone circle, which is the largest in Ireland, the clock in Clarshig, is there where the harp sits on. And the Ronach Crandubh stone, which is all the Om. And Cromwell, when he came here, he camped his troops there, his son-in-law, Ireton. He was there. And they defaced all those stones and they destroyed all that information and knowledge on those stones, but we still know what it is. And he executed Bishop O'Brien of Limerick, and he told Bishop O'Brien, Ireton told him that Bishop O'Brien told him that he put the curse of Cromwell on him, and he said he'd be dead with him in 40 days. He was dead with him 8 days, and they destroyed the Askeaton Psalter. The Book of Psalms is the Psalter, and the Sovereign Seal has two images. If you take a coin out of your pocket, you put it up to the mirror, and you see the half of the Psalter. And it's all about mathematics, all about how we control our planet Earth. And we look after our planet Earth, and we look after our people, and we educate our people. But I'm afraid it has been desecrated, and been desecrated in our own country. If you go to the Four Courts, and you look up at the Four Courts in 1923, I'm afraid it was the British government that they desecrated. It's not properly aligned. It should be, the Sovereign Seal should be aligned. The Trinity should be to the sun and the moon, and as I said, the stars, and that's where it comes from. And, you know, every child in the world, it's for every child who's the same, has that understanding, which is a wonderful. We mightn't have the same language. We might be from different cultures and everything else. But I said to you that it was Homo sapiens, which is following that knowledge and information on the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where those two five-string harps sit on the Ark of the Covenant. And you can do all that mathematics, all the science, how man learned to write, how man learned to count. You know, everything turns upside down. The inside is the crescent moon. You know, all, and the sun box and the sound box, the winter and summer solstice, the 12 months calendar, they're all worked out from the mathematics of the harp. And that's what we do. We don't get much publicity today for it, but I think it's very sad, and I think mankind is losing out on great knowledge that was there, was carried here, and great civilizations had that knowledge all through Europe and around the world. I mean, you can't build your ship, you can't have a wheel without that. That's where it all comes from. And I think it's nice for that every child in the world, we all have the same intellect and reason, and it's how your intellect and reason, and that's why you stand facing the sun with your left hand, those five fingers on your left hand and the five fingers on your right hand, and you make the harp sign on your left hand, and you make the harp sign on your right hand, and you put the right hand over your left hand harp sign, and there you get the Sovereign Trinity. You see, you are the Sovereign. And when the Irish and Fenian Republic and Brotherhood, they were initiated into the Irish Republic and Brotherhood, or the Fenian Republic and Brotherhood, you are the Sovereign. We're a Republican people. We're Sovereign people is what we are. That's what we treasure, that we're Sovereign. And we look after planet Earth. We're supposed to look after each other, and that it doesn't always work out today. But I said, when I hold that harp, those five-stringed harps, and they were all given, they were all in the Vaughan's Hotel papers. My family bought Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square, and that's where, you know, to implement the 1916 proclamation, which is our proclamation, and our sovereign constitution, and our Declaration of Independence, all the plans for the 1916 rising. And I gave all those. We gave Willowbank, where I live down in Limerick, to the University of Limerick, to set up the University of Limerick. It's an Irish Republican Brotherhood University for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary, so that young people would get an education and get a work ethos, how you look after and how you work and how you, you know, properly. It should be a joy to work, not this awful sort of slavery mentality that the Roman Empire imposed on people to control people and destroyed those two five-stringed harps and replaced them with angels. That's an invention of the Roman Empire and the Roman religion. And all we're asking is that for our sovereign daughter and government, I mean, Britain has it up on their coat of arms. What's it doing up there? You know, if you don't respect it. But anyway, that's we gave Willowbank with all that information. And they were all up in the attics, all that, to the University of Limerick, included those two five-stringed harps. And all the plans for the 1916 Rising and all the plans for the setting up of the Sovereign Republic of Ireland. The 1916 Proclamation, the Sovereign Constitution, and the Address to the Free Nations and the Declaration of Independence, they're all Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood documents. And it was James Stevens and John O'Mahony. The Fenians were around, Jim Ireland was around, all those different organisations. They never got any place, really. Britain was far too powerful and too strong. But they went to John O'Mahony in America, and James McGuire, who was chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom, which was one of our organisations to collect the money to pay for the setting up of the Sovereign Republic of Ireland and all those institutions. And they were all up and running, and all the money was there on the 21st of January 1919. By the will and wish of all the people of the 32 counties, that's the mandate we still hold.
Yeah.
And as you probably know, as William James McGuire, I'm president of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. I hold the sovereignty and legitimacy of the state, and I can use that sovereign. I can use the sovereignty and this, the sovereign seal on the tricolour is the Sovereign Republic of Ireland. That's what they achieved by the will and wish of all the people of the 32 counties, and the on the sovereign seal on its own, it's 12 strings anno domini. All those strings mean something on the harps. And that's a sovereign seal. It's anno domini, so that's why it's anno domini. Where the harp is only one image, but the sovereign seal has two. From wrong to right, evil to good, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And that's how you understand the harp. Every child in the world can understand that, if he's initiated with that information. And just a string and a piece of stick, that's all he needs. Yeah. And he can educate himself nowadays because, as we said, all that those two five-stringed harps, they're the first computer known to mankind, how you put an image onto a surface. You know, you can do all that. You can do all that in Drogheda. We can do all that. You could do all that in Stonehenge. And I'm always very sad at Stonehenge. You never hear Stonehenge mentioning the harps. And you never hear them in, well, you do hear them in France, but I wouldn't be well up in France on that. I mean, they built those magnificent churches and things, you know, that's all built from the plan of the harps. Yeah. And the pyramids of Egypt, they're built. The Egyptians had a 12-month calendar. And, you know, Rome didn't have a 12-month calendar. Rome, and they were relying on the winter and summer solstice, which we still do today in Loch Garry. You see where the sun comes down. But then if you go to Terminini in Rome and you go to the basilica there, you'll see in that basilica there's a little hole in the wall up about 12 feet, and when the sun runs across the floor, it strikes that. That's how the Easter Sunday, which is the most important day in the Roman calendar, the Roman Catholic Church, and that's how they do it now. But it's the first Sunday when that sun strikes that hole and the sun strikes in there. Easter Sunday is worked out mathematically for the whole world when it hits that for the after the first full moon. And you know, I said about, you know, if you follow that, what was laid down in the by the covenant between God and man for his planet Earth and our civilization, you can work out about all the amount of food that people need and for the welfare and the education. But I'm afraid we've sort of gone off the track now. It's all about greed and it's all about money and it's all about weapons, and we spend more on weapons and that. You never carry the harps to war. If you do, you pay the price, and the Hebrew people have paid that price by carrying it to war. They took it to use it against their enemies. But I think most people today, they're really not really. They like all the, you know, the good things that came out of that, the weave, the cars, but they don't think back to where all that came from.
Yeah.
And that's a man's intellect and reason, you know, carrying that here. And that's how you do it. And that's where it comes from. And all
I think it's amazing, Billy, that a musical instrument like the harp, I mean, it is a beautiful musical instrument. The sound that comes from that is amazing, right? And But it's not only that, it's just got all that, as you say, all that knowledge is encompassed within it. And the fact that here in Ireland we use that as our, you know, way to say this is our sovereignty, this is our freedom, and we can just spread this, you know. And it's sad the way it's been swept aside under the carpet, ignored, basically, you know. And yeah, the national symbol of Ireland is the harp. You'll see it on all government documents as well.
Well, I mean, it's shocking. It is shocking. And if you look at last Saturday, it was St. Patrick's Day, the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, we weren't even invited to one. Yeah. And it's 160 years old on St. Patrick's Day. We were founded, as I said, by James Stevens down in 16 Number Street, and by John O'Mahony in Doherty's in New York. And not one program, not the provisional government or anybody else, wished us, you know, they never said, you know, happy anniversary or happy birthday or something, and it's great, 160 years. No, not a word.
Well, we'll say it here. We'll say it here. Happy anniversary to the IRB.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Because it is amazing. You know, it's history that I really didn't know about, even though I have, you know, ancestors, like grandparents and whatever, who were very much involved in the whole 1916 and War of Independence. In fact, my uncle wrote a book about it, too.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
And, so,
but they were great people. They understood it, you see, and they knew it. But we're going away from it now. And it means nothing to us. We use all the benefits of that, what they carried, all that knowledge. Your parents carried that knowledge from the Middle East right across to Europe and North Africa to Albania. And that's as far as they could go. I remember when, you know, listen, we were the business agents of the Spanish Empire. And Christopher Columbus, he called on my family for information on the Brendan voyage. And actual fact, Patrick McGuire was one of the people who taught them.
Yeah, actually, Billy, just to interrupt you there, sorry. Just to go back to your involvement with the IRB, how did your family get involved there, just so people...
Well, we were involved a long time, you know, looking after, carrying that information and that. And in we bought Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square and Granby Row in Dublin, to set up what was on the implement the 1916 proclamation and the sovereign constitution, and they're the foundation documents of the state. And to say we bought Vaughan's Hotel for. It's 29 Parnell Square in Granby Row, and when Queen Elizabeth came here, which took 10 years, I can tell you, of negotiation with the Earl of Hankin. He took his seat in the House of Lords with Archbishop Eames and the Presbyterian people, they believe in God and the sovereignty. And their abbey is on Parnell Square, there on the corner. It was old Rutland Square in those days. It was old Finlayson's Church. It's still a church, and they still teach a lot of children. That they do a lot of good work. And that took 10 years, and it was to lay the wreath at in the Garden of Remembrance in Parnell Square. And they built an entrance out onto the side of that for the Queen. She wanted to see Vaughan's Hotel, where the state was founded. Right. But it was in such a bad and a derelict condition that the provincial government couldn't show it to her. And I think that's very sad.
That's a shame.
And, you know, that was a great visit. And the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, you know, we don't do any, we're not interested in violence, we're only interested in the welfare of our people and all people. And we only give out that information about, and, you know, we guaranteed her safety here. And the minute her visit was over, well, the Earl of Hankin had died, just the he was friendly with the Queen, and he took his seat, as I said, in the House of Lords, and working it out, you know, there are names. We know terrible things happened over the years, but we have to move on. And we're all in sort of Europe. Well, I don't know, Britain seems to be moving out of Europe now, which is a shame too. And you know, we and the minute that her visit was over, that was the end of it. You know, she didn't even thank the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. She didn't even thank them for guaranteeing her safety. You know, we're snubbed, and we got a complete snub. And we still get a snub. We get a snub, I told you, last in 2016 for our rising. You know, that's our tricolour flag. That's our sovereign seal of Dalarne. And that's our tricolour flag that we put up in the GPO in 1916. And when it was brought in here by Thomas Francis Marr, you know, the orange was nearest to the pole. And Christina probably, she likes to talk about that. And
Christina, she's been quiet now.
And that was taken down. You know, we put that up. And on Easter Monday of 2016, our 100th anniversary, we weren't invited to one commemoration, and they put up a flagpole in front of the GPO, and the Defence Forces were raising it at 12 noon. And on Easter Monday, they took down the flagpole, the way the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood couldn't raise their tricolour flag. And I think that's a scandal. That's our flag that's in the European Parliament. And that's our sovereign seal that's in Europe. And we're very upset about that. We will not allow our sovereign seals or our sovereign primacy, which is over the pole, to be desecrated by anybody. And we will not allow that or anyone to do that. We will defend that, and that's what we've always done. And we give you all the information for your planet Earth, and all for how you grow your food and everything else. And I think we could have a wonderful world and if we only had those basics right. And but on the last day of the commemorations in 2016 in Galway University, Heather Humphreys, who was the provincial minister, stood up in Galway at the university and said, "We've taken back the national flag from the dissidents." Our national flag, we weren't even invited to it. You know, that's the desecration we see. And we see Europe. Sure, Europe doesn't have... you have to have a sovereign government. That's why General de Gaulle wouldn't allow Britain into the... because the EEC common market at the time. Because Britain doesn't have a sovereign government. Britain has a royal government, Royal Courts of Justice and the Crown Force. 1155 and Pope Adrian IV illegally and fraudulently gave it to Henry II. And you've all those... usurper that Henry VIII did of the sovereignty. As I said, all sovereignty comes from God, whereas the crown, that comes from mankind. You know, the Magna Carta and that's all man-made. But sovereignty comes from God, and that was those two five-fingered harps that put the two of them together. You can work out all mathematics, all science, and all astronomy with those. Every child can do that. And every child should be taught that. But nobody teaches it now, and nobody, you know, it's sort of just airbrushed out. And I think there's an awful tragedy to do that. I'm probably on far too long, and I'm probably...
We'll let Christina come in here, because we'll ask Christina, like, how she got involved, and...
Well, she's very good.
I've met Christina quite a few times, lovely lady, and she's very committed to this. And so, Christina.
Very committed, and has done great work. All we're doing is giving children, you know, every child, you look at tonight and you'll see the crescent moon. Turn the harp upside down, and the inside of that is the crescent. You'll see that up in the sky tonight, and that's what we're talking about, the sun, the moon, and the planet Earth. And it's all about looking after that. And that it will be there for us and there for your children. And there will be an education. And children will understand. And that's truth, knowledge, and information. You can't beat that. And they should be educated. And we have it. I'm getting too old on the last left of the Supreme Council. But I would like to see that's left. And we're going to ask Pope Francis that, and all religions, that they would include looking after planet Earth. And where mathematics and where how men learn to write, you can see it across the lines of the harp. You can see the abacus, how men learn to count. You can see all that. You can see it in buildings. If you're only taught how to do it. And I think that's one thing that we try to do.
Yeah. I don't think somehow Pope Francis will adhere to that. I don't think so. Anyway, Christina, let's welcome you to the conversation here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And again, how did you get involved? Your role and where are we going with the IRB at the moment? What can we do to get people aware of this knowledge? Because if people, particularly the young people, start getting a hold of this, we can change it. But It's just very difficult at these times.
Yeah, your question's loaded. I suppose I'll go back to where I started. I was about 2 years of age when I became aware of, you know, the ongoing struggles that the people in the north of this country, in the six counties, were having. My aunts were very much involved in the civil rights movement, and my very first protest, I suppose, would have been because of what happened on Bloody Sunday. They were involved in the March for Civil Rights. And through conversations and listening to all of that, I became very aware of the Republican people's plight, really, and then the history. I come from a very staunch Republican family, I suppose, and my family would have been involved in 1798 on my father's side, and certainly one of my relatives on my mum's side was executed by the Free State in 1923. So that would have been drummed into me from an early age, as you can imagine. So I suppose I go back a long line of especially women in my family who were very much involved in the Republican movement. And just wanting to expand on that in a peaceful way. As I said, civil rights were a big issue. And I mean, even to this day, civil rights are very important to me, and women's rights specifically. So that's how I suppose I started. The next part of your question, where does it go? I think it's very important that every child knows about this information. I mean, I was muted listening to Billy yet again. I've heard him speak on numerous occasions about the covenant between God and man and all our information that we need on this planet Earth to survive. And I think that really has to be brought forward into the new generations. Children do need to know about this. So, you know, that for me would be a direction that we need to take. I think that we do inform all people that they're sovereign.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Like the IRB at the moment, how big are they? Are they a big organization? I know it's not a political organization, but what?
It's non-political. It's been around for 160 years. The organization are still there. There's huge interest in the organization. There always has been. And in the information. I mean, it's as people have their backs up against the wall in this country currently, more and more people are looking to this information about what had happened in 1916. Through our history books, it was 1916 and then 1922, and there was nothing in between. And what Billy is bringing forth is all of the information about what actually did happen, how the state was founded, who funded it, and the foundation documents of the state, and more importantly, that sovereign constitution of 1919. And more people are becoming aware of that and starting to invoke that.
I know, but I say it is difficult because the politicians just don't care. They don't want to know this. They want to keep it hidden. But we did see a little ray of light where the 21st of January, which is Ireland's Independence Day, a lot of people don't know this, including most Irish people don't know this. They know what the 4th of July is, but they don't know the 21st of January.
And well, that's right.
There's a big ceremony. There is a ceremony that's held every year on the 21st of January. So do you want to kind of explain to people what happens there?
Well, I mean, back in 1919, we had the Declaration of Irish Independence, and it came forward from the words of the Proclamation of 1916, as Billy's family were very involved in 1917, buying Vaughan's Hotel, where that constitution was written, and, you know, forming the movement for the 1918 32 county elections, which the IRB's political wing at the time. I suppose, moving that forward and bringing it to the establishment of the Parliament that sat in the Mansion House, and that's what we do every year. We return to the Mansion House on the 21st of January at noon, and Billy will turn that sovereign seal, which is the national emblem of this country. The era underneath is the name of the nation of the 32 counties. I mean, you have to go way back in history to understand all of this. It's not something that, people will get in 5 minutes. There's been a process.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of layers to the onion, you know. And
there is, yeah.
It goes right back, as Billy was saying, right back to...
But if you go back to the foundation of the IRB in 1858, I mean, they stemmed out of the Young Ireland movement, which stemmed from the United Irishmen, which was all religions. It was United Irish men and women, I may say. And in 1848, Thomas Francis Marr was one of the Young Irelanders. He was the one who brought the concept of the tricolour flag back to Ireland with orange next to the pole. But by 1858, when the IRB was founded, they adopted and adapted the tricolour with green next to the pole. We celebrated on St. Patrick's Day at Lombard Street, the foundation of the organisation, Peter Langan's timber yard. He was a lathe merchant, a timber merchant and a lathe maker. And we go back to that site every year. It's a garage now, and there's a little plaque that marks it, but we'll go there every year. And then we go to the graves of James Stevens and John O'Mahony in Glasnevin. You know, there was a process that happened. After that inaugural meeting in Lombard Street, Thomas Luby Clark, Joseph Denneath, and James Stevens walked the length and breadth of this country. They actually went out on foot, and they would move from one nationalistic area to another, and they recruited. And in a very short space of time, certainly by 1861, when Thomas Bellew MacManus, who was one of those Young Irelanders and who had been imprisoned with Thomas Francis Marr in 1848, he escaped, and after 10 years he died at a young age of 50. He died in poverty, like so many. But his body was brought back to Ireland. It took 9 months to bring his body back and to reinter him in Glasnevin. But already, from when his body landed in Cork, there were hundreds of thousands of people associated with the Irish Republican Brotherhood and 30,000 marching in formation to bring his body up to Glasnevin. And that put the wind up the British authorities here at the time. You know, by they realised there was some movement happening. You know, again, going back to history, the only reason all of this really began was through the genocide of the Irish people with what was perpetrated as a famine. You know, and it was through the Young Ireland movement retaliating against the food removal here in this country that this stemmed. It was the genocide of the Irish people. And they had to do something. Certainly by 1865, the Fenians in America had split. And there was a Roberts faction. It was William Roberts actually split the movement and wanted to invade Canada. And John O'Mahony, his section of the organisation, didn't. And it was at that point that the Irish Republican Brotherhood wrote into the Constitution that there would never be a military uprising, that they were going to have a cultural revolution. And that started a process then in this country to regenerate the spirit of being Irish within the hearts and minds of the Irish people. And they founded groups like the Land League, which was funded by the Irish Republican Brotherhood. Michael Davitt was a member of the IRB, and he became a Supreme Council member, as did Thomas Francis Marr, and that's always been forgotten about. You know, there was also the development of the GAA, the Land League, the Gaelic League, you know, and certainly by the 1900s, there had been a huge revolution in this country already. It was a cultural revolution.
So what was happening? So 1916 was kind of, it was inevitable in some ways.
It was.
Surprise. You know, I've just gone back to a book that my uncle wrote, it's called A Fist to the Black-Blooded, and it was about a family on my mother's side, the McMahons in Monaghan, and three of them, my grandfather, my granduncle, and my grandaunt were very much involved in all of that, and my granduncle was a member of the IRB as well.
Yeah.
Pater McMahon, and then my grandaunt, Sorka McMahon, she was very much involved in 1916. Bringing guns and whatever to the GPO, and she was a great friend of Kathleen Clark, who of course is the wife of Tom Clark. And it's just you know, when they could have had a good career and all the rest, you know, they could have had a nice life, but they chose to sacrifice their lives to fight for the freedom of this country. And it's just amazing that they did that. You know, my grandfather, he lost a leg in the Civil War. I mean, he could have been shot too. You know, he could have been killed. So it's just, it's incredible when you see what the sacrifice these people made back then to give us something, you know, for future generations. I really find it sad to see that a lot of this is now all forgotten 100 years later. It does sadden me.
Yes, indeed. I'm with you. And when you go back in history and you see the sacrifices over many generations of what they have done for this country and for the people of this country, you know, the amount of people who lost their lives, the amount of people who sacrificed their lives, as you said, they could have had a nice, cushy life and just got on with life and living. But they chose not to because the people were being, the Irish people and the Irish nation was being eradicated.
It was, yeah. Yeah. There was a genocide going on, which kind of goes on from what happened in the so-called potato famine. And, you know, and of course, Chris Fogarty, as you both know well, you know, he's done a brilliant job exposing what really happened back then. You know?
Yes. And it's all interlinked.
It's all interlinked. All
the IRB founded, you know, and that can't be forgotten either, you know.
Saying, bring Graham here. Graham, are there any questions or any comments you want to make?
I was surprised to hear Billy say that prior to ERA, the country was called Hibernia. I mean, now being a football man, I've heard of Hibernian in Scotland, but I didn't know that. The other thing that came to mind was when Billy turns the seal at the Mansion House. I believe they only open one room, Billy. But when it comes to Holocaust Remembrance Day, then the whole building seems to be open. That must be a bit of a real insult.
Well, I'll answer that for you. This year, the 21st of January, was the first time in 99 years that the people were allowed into the Mansion House to see the turning of the Sovereign Seal in the Harp. Can you imagine? And they showed the second Dáil Éireann. That's where Dáil Éireann sat in the 1918-32 County All-Ireland election. And they sat on the morning. They sat in the Cabinet Room, which is the dining room, and was ratified by the executive of the Supreme Council. And at 12 noon, that's why we do it, at 12 noon. And in the afternoon then, in the round room. That's where Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. It is the royal Dáil that was imposed by King George V on the 6th of December 1921, when he usurped the sovereignty of the Dáil Éireann and the Irish people, and imposed the British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an honorary state and a provisional government. That's what we have today in Leinster House. And on the 6th of December 1921, Michael Collins stepped down from the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and he and the Free State government, they went down and they bought the lease of Leinster House from the Royal Dublin Society. And at that stage, Sinn Féin, which was, it's not the same as Sinn Féin today, but Sinn Féin in those days, we ourselves, they wouldn't take their seats in Leinster House because it was under the Duke of Leinster and it was under the Crown of England.
Yeah. And Billy, just to clarify.
Sorry?
Just to clarify for American listeners or overseas listeners, that Leinster House is where the provisional Irish government sits.
The Royal Dáil sits in Leinster House. It's the 26 and 6 counties that was imposed by King George V and the British government as a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an honorary state and a provisional government. On the 21st of January 1919, you had, by the will and wish of all the people of the 32 counties, the sovereign Dáil Éireann government, the sovereign Dáil Éireann courts, and the War of Independence as a defence force. And that's the difference, and that's today. And that's why General de Gaulle, he wouldn't allow Britain into the Europe, well, it was the EU common market at the time, because they didn't have a sovereign government. They have a royal government and royal courts of justice. And you have to have a sovereign government to sit in the European Parliament, and only that parliament. and only that government, by the will and wish of all the people of the 1918-32 county election from Vaughan's Hotel, and ratified, as I said, by the executive of the Supreme Council in the cabinet room, and in, and by the sovereign Dorian government of the sovereign Republic of Ayr in the round room, can sit in the European Parliament and use the Irish and Premier Republican Brotherhood's tricolour flag and use their sovereign seal of Dáil Éireann. The sovereign seal on its own is Dáil Éireann, 12 strings, A.D., Anno Domini. It's the Book of Psalms is the psaltery, and that's the psaltery, the instrument that accompanies the psalms, and that's our sovereignty. And that can, is the only one. We have five governments, and we have five constitutions in the state, but there's only one legal valid than bona fides. I mean, they're all talking about Brexit, and they're all talking about the border. There will be no border in Ireland. There will be no border. And those people in the six counties, they're all Irish. They're all sovereign citizens in this country. And there was no border on the 21st of January 1919. So why are they talking about a border? The European Parliament cannot impose what King George V and the British government imposed on the 6th of December 1921, a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. The 27 countries in Europe cannot, they cannot impose that. And what they're talking for their hats. Look, yeah. Ireland and England and Scotland, so they're our, all our people. And we only want the best for all our people. And putting in a bar, we have the largest territory in Europe, all that territory. We go, our neighbours are the United States of America and Canada. And Europe is watching all this. How can Europe impose something, a British apartheid system, when Britain, if you take the 16th of March last year, Queen Elizabeth gave royal assent for the Article 50 of Brexit to be triggered. And under the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, England, Scotland and Ireland, and she usurped the sovereignty of the Free State and of the sovereign Dáil Éireann government. And she gave Theresa May on the 29th of March, she, who wrote to Donald Tusk, and yeah. and informed him under the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland that she had taken England, Scotland and Ireland out of the European Union. But that's what's happened. There is no, I mean, this thing what's going on about the border, there are people, all the people in the north, we look, all the people, there are Celtic people in Scotland and in Wales, and yeah. look, we have no problem with this. We want to have, we don't want to go to war with anybody ourselves. We're only a small country. We only want to look after, educate our people and have the welfare of our people and people own their houses, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, and, I think, with Billy, we just have to put aside our kind of differences. So, like, things happened in the past and bad things happened, but we can move on now. And going back to the EU are totally anti-sovereignty anyway. I mean, they're trying to erase borders within Europe anyway, aren't they?
So that but they it's extraordinary that we can do their, you know, the flag that they have with the yeah. with the stars.
12 stars, yeah.
I did that 40-something years ago up in Connemara. I bought Connemara originally to plant the native woodland Ohm forest and to restore the Ohm alphabet. The Ohm is the first string of the harp. It's known as the golden thread. It's the measuring tape, plumb line, straight edge. It's how the 12 months calendar, it's how the pyramids of Egypt were built. And if you look at that, and I was restoring that. But anyway, that's where we are. And I think it's time that people started looking into, you know, the future and the welfare of our countries and our people, yeah. and stop all this fighting. And, you know, it's greed, and have a proper government and the proper governance of country and of the land and of the seas. I mean, look at the plastic. Look at the plastic. I mean, a benefit turned into a nightmare. I saw those programs on BBC and that, because we get BBC here. Mm-hmm. And it's just scandalous to see the way the world is being governed and are not being governed.
Yeah.
And there's no need for that. There is no need for any of that. And to see the children in slavery, sure, slavery is still there. Isn't that what the big problem is?
It was abolished. The Roman Empire. It was never abolished.
And it is scandalous. And to see here the provisional government, which is the Royal Dáil and the Royal, would not recognise the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood for their 100. They would not say, happy anniversary and 160. You saw Leo Varadkar go into the White House pretending with our tricolour flag on the front of his car. You can see it yourself with a British Admiralty gold braiding round it. That was not a tricolour flag. That's a fourth colour. And the same as what Michael D. Higgins did when he went to Windsor. I said about the flag, and they said, no, we didn't take the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood flag. We took a fourth colour. And that's what they're doing. You look at Leinster House.
The fringe is supposed to represent a corporation, so it's like Ireland is
a
corporation.
It does, and it's the British Admiralty. Admiralty. I mean, this is what you're getting. You're getting this lies and deception all the time. And you think, there's not one corporation here has a license, not one bank. And, I mean, it's just absolutely scandalous. And the sovereign seal is 12 strings with air underneath it. And Christina there, she let it out to you. And only the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. It is treason under the Crown of England for the provisional free state government, which is under the Crown of England, to use that sovereign seal or to use the tricolour flag. Michael D. Higgins, he couldn't take it to Windsor because he would be indicted for treason under the Crown if he did. And, you know, it's all this hypocrisy and this lies and deception going on. And I think if Europe is going to continue on that, we don't want to fight with anybody. We want to live in peace. We want to have our fishing right. We want to have everything, good governance of our country and of all our assets. Those assets belong to the people. That's what it is. Here, the people are sovereign citizens, supposed to be, and supposed to be governed. Whereas in England, they're subjects to the Crown of England. And that's the difference. And you can't have Britain claiming to be a sovereign country in one hand and claiming that the people are subjects to the Crown on the other hand. It just does not make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, you look at it. People are, and people should be sovereign and should have a sovereign right to the assets of the state, to education, to home care, and to be looked after properly. That's what it's about, and that's what the covenant between God and man is all about, and that's where we go back to. And we follow that covenant, and we've been following that for hundreds and hundreds of years. You can go to Loch Gore, as I said, we can do 10,000 years of our sovereign. And you stand in the road in Loch Gore. I know that after taking away the map, because I did it for the European Parliament. And if anyone wants to go in to see that, go to Billy Maguire, it's all one word, BillyMcguire.com, and all that information. Now I'm gone too old. But all those people who come to the Mansion House, and John Robinson, who's a wonderful secretary, and Christina, and all those people who want to put that information out there for young people. All we're doing is giving you the information. And you stand on the road at Loch Gore, and you look in there, and on that map, there's Carrigal is the other side of the lake. There's two stone circles on Carrigal. And they go back to the clock and clock, the harp stone. And you do what I'm telling you. Stand there and your two hands up in the air with your five fingers on left hand and five fingers on the right. And then make the harp signs with your two fingers on your left hand and your right. Then put those over. Put those two fingers up if on that map to Carrigal. And they're exactly the same measurement. Our ancestors carried those for that site 10,000 years ago. 10,000 years ago, our people could have found that site.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's in the arc then to the Galtee Mountains, which are the harp strings, the talking
clock. Just to clarify again for listeners that Loch Gore is a lake in County Limerick. And
it's the biggest stone circle. It's the biggest stone circle.
Probably more important than Newgrange, would it be?
Oh, it's right. It is. Sure. That's old Grange. Lochar is at Old Grange, whereas New Grange is rock. And the sun runs along there in the winter and summer solstice. And you can get all the mathematics. And you stand in the middle of that. As I said to you, when you were initiated into the IRB, when I was, and in those old days, you stood and you had to hold up your hands. You had to make the harp signs on your left hand and the harp sign on your right hand. And they're the two five-stringed harp that come from God, that were given to mankind on the Ark of the Covenant. And we're only asking, so how can the people understand it if they're not told that information? Let them do it themselves. The people will do that themselves. You don't need anyone to tell you or to control you. The Roman Empire was all about controlling and slavery. You don't want that in your life today. You want to be educated. And to say, and you want to do it for the welfare of the world and your own welfare and your happiness. And that's how you achieve it. And it's all there. And I think there's a shocking thing to airbrush out. And I think there's a shocking thing for Leo Varadkar to go into the White House and with a gold braiding round our tricolour flag. Never mind, he didn't even ask us, could he use it? He can't use it. He, you know, that's what causes all the rows. Pretending, lying, a pure hypocrite, pretending that he's part of Dáil Éireann. Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. It's the Royal Dáil that sits in Leinster House. That was imposed on the 6th of December, 1921, by King Charles, George V. And the British government, that's where it comes from, and it's time the facts were put out there to people. Besides all the time nod and wink and lies and money and I'll pay for this and I'll do that, and that's what is there. Yeah, that's not right, and that's not sovereignty. That is dishonesty and corruption, and we should not have that. And you should not. To see the Chief Justice and to see those judges walking in and out of the High Court and the two sovereign seals up and they desecrate it and not for, that is a scandal to desecrate a country's deliberately done in 1923. And you can read it, there's a marvellous book, Money for Ireland,
I'll tell you what we'll do, Billy. We're just coming to the hour mark. We'll just take a break, a musical break, and we'll go into that. We're going up to midnight here, Billy, if that's okay with you.
Oh, are you? I didn't know.
Yeah, are you okay with that?
Oh, I'm all right.
Oh, God. That's a funny one. I'm going to play a song.
Christina is very important.
We can get Christina in because we want to... go into what happened, like, the 1916 War of Independence, Civil War, and how the whole thing was usurped, and bring it up kind of to present day, you know, the troubles in Northern Ireland, all of that. We're going to play a song by a guy called Damien Dempsey, which is called To Hell or Barbados. This is about where at least 50,000 Irish men, women, and children were sent to Barbados by Cromwell as slaves, the first slaves that really went to America. They weren't blacks, folks, it was the Irish. And this is a very powerful song. So, Graham, you can take it away. It's about 6 or 7 minutes, folks, and we'll be back to you, okay?
All the golden song silk sand that surrounds this pretty island must have seemed like prison walls, steely bars in this playground of the rich. All the yachts and champagne lavish, I still see a lonely child watch the stars. All of all your evil deeds, many still condone. You said It's a heaven on this earth. A creator's work of art. And the sun sets o'er the sea. So divine. And a whiplash licks my heels. How my scorched skin bursts and peels. Now my people went up made for these burning fields. Oliver, your evil deeds, many still condone, but your crime of slavery goes unknown. To save us from the fate. to hell and Barbados, to hell and Barbados, we
Damien Dempsey, To Hell or Barbados, very powerful lyrics, great song.
Yeah, beautiful song, very sad, but Billy and Christina probably listened to that. I mean, this is the stuff that happened way back, you know. Our people have been targeted for years and centuries, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
They have.
I was listening to the lyrics there, and I have to say, I've just thought about so many things that I've read through the archives and through history books of the Irish people being enslaved and, you know, taken away from their homes for one reason or another and for their home, and the love that of they that they have for this country. Yeah. You know, even today, people who have had to, for one reason or another, emigrate through loss of jobs, income, you know, and still pining to be home.
Exactly. Yeah, I lived abroad. I lived in England for 10 years. I was in America for a year. And, you know, I always loved flying back into Dublin and looking at the green fields and thinking, I'm home, you know.
Just
Heart,
I can only imagine coming from a rural place in Ireland where there are green fields and a very simplistic lifestyle, and going and living in the likes of New York and the mishmash of cultures that are there. And, of course, you're going to be longing to be home.
That's it. Among your own people, and, you know, the crack and the merriment and all of that that goes with it. And, you know, there's a great community spirit that we still have in Ireland. It's still there, but it's disappearing now. And, you know, I just see where we're going. They seem to be, the government seems to be intent on just opening the borders and letting in a lot of alien cultures into our country, which really aren't going to help us here.
Excuse
it's me? Not going to really going to work, you know. It's going to dilute what we have, and you know, I think it is moving towards a kind of a global type government where nobody has any history, culture, nothing, where you can be ruled easily. And I think this is where we're heading. And but at least people are beginning to see it, and they're trying to do something about it. But of course, what can we do? You know, we have to get the word out, get the information out. I mean, the sovereignty that we have in this country, that history is so unique to Ireland. It's beautiful. It really is.
It is.
If we can get that, share that out.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been disguised very, very well. And that's the problem that we have, getting the information out. Most people believe that in 1922, Ireland got its independence. What happened, as Billy quite rightly points out, was the establishment of the Royal Dáil and Senate Oireachtas by the British Crown. It was 26 county home rule, and not what the men and women of 1916 fought for, and not what was established in 1918 and voted for in 1918 by the whole country and established in 1919.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the information we're trying to desperately get out to the people because, as Billy said, Dáil Éireann has never sat in the mansion in Leinster House. Dáil Éireann only ever sat in the Mansion House. And, you know, the watering down of that information, there's a huge block of information that has been taken out of our history books, and we endeavour to put it back in. I mean, it right before our eyes, as Billy has pointed out about the tricolour flag with the fringe on it and the Admiralty jurisdiction. The same with our culture. You know, GAA was founded by the IRB, you know, as a national pastime, national sport. We've the fastest field sport in the world.
In the
and
world.
The most ancient, and that's hurling.
Hurling,
and
a
then
beautiful game.
A beautiful game. And the whole idea was to re-establish, by the IRB at the time was to re-establish that connection with our national pastime, an ancient sport. In 2008, they took our sovereign seal, which is the harp, five-string harp, and era, off the All-Ireland medals and created a logo for the GAA.
A corporate logo,
and when the Queen came and put her foot on the soil in Croke Park, it was British soil she was putting her foot on. It wasn't Irish soil.
That's a very interesting story, Christina, because I think it was you two did a big concert in Croke Park. By the way, Croke Park is a stadium in Dublin. It's the headquarters of the GAA, which is the Gaelic Athletic Association, which is our national sport, and we've had it for so long. And they did a big concert, and they had to dig up the turf because they said, there's so many people that destroyed the turf at the concert. Now, instead of getting an Irish company to put Irish soil in Croke Park to replace it, they brought in a British company. And so when the Queen came and visited Croke Park, in the kind of so-called remembrance of what happened on Bloody Sunday back in, when was it, 1921, was it, Christina? When did Bloody Sunday happen?
Go slow in my brain at the moment as the date is.
But it was around that age, around that time anyway.
And
the British Army came in and murdered a lot of the football, the players on the field and also spectators.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she came to kind of commemorate that, but did she really? Because she was walking on British soil, and I just thought,
but all her photo opportunities were behind the GAA logo, which happened to be three serpents. There's no way she could have stood in front of the Sovereign Seal in Era. You know, that would be her recognising the Sovereign Republic of Era.
Yeah. And let's go back to, in 1916, we all know what kind of, let's give people a brief history of 1916, what kind of happened there, bring it up to the War of Independence, and then the Civil War, because I think the Civil War was the kind of the turning point where Irish men were fighting amongst each other, and we were divided mainly by religious lines and political allegiances, but also families were all split up by this. This is what the British did. They did the same thing in America. The American Civil War, the same kind of thing, brother fighting brother. And who gave?
In actual fact, Brighter, they drafted in 55,000 into the National Army, which is the Free State Army, to quash the Republican people. That's what happened. You go back to 1916 and the Irish Volunteers. Again, the Irish Volunteers had been split soon after its inception with the Redmanite movement, promising that if everyone voted for, and moved and went off to fight for the British Army, that they were going to give home rule for the whole island of Ireland. Billy mentioned briefly there Francis Carroll's book, Money for Ireland, and that's a wonderful read for anyone to go. He goes back into the politics and the finances of that time period. He states that the government established by the wish and will of the people in 1919 was a working government, and it was being financed. And it's a great insight into the history and the Irish American history. I know you have a lot of Irish American listeners. So I would ask everyone to read that book. It's a fascinating read. But in 1924, after the establishment of the Free State, basically what happened was the British government didn't want to recognise the sovereign Dáil Éireann. In August of 1919, they declared Dáil Éireann an illegal assembly. And they tricked the delegation going over. They had already established the Parliament of Southern Ireland, which was the 26 counties, in the Ireland Act of 1920. And it was them that they managed to what was referred to today as to have a treaty with. It wasn't a treaty. The treaty was on British soil, for starters. Second of all, there was a forged document. And thirdly, they weren't recognising Dáil Éireann to treat with. They were only recognising their 26 county Parliament of Southern Ireland. And again, you will see all of that in Francis Carroll's book. Yeah. In 1927, there was a court case in the States where the Free State wanted to get all of this money that had been raised for Dáil Éireann, for the Irish Republican government, and they wanted to get their hands on it. They had managed in 1924 through the Winding Up Act of 1923, which wound up the sovereign Dáil Éireann courts in the country, they managed to wrangle any money that had been raised internally into their coffers. However, they failed in America. And the judge found that the Parliament, the Royal Dáil, as we call it, and Senator Ráchtas in Leinster House, was the de jure government of Westminster and right. not of, of Dáil Éireann, which had been established by the Wish and Will of the People. So that's all in that book. And again, I would suggest everyone get their hands on that and read it. But they will be able to find the judgment online, and it's Free State versus Guarantee Safe Deposit Company. That was the, you know, you will find that judgment online, that written wording of the judgment.
What's your take on, you know, okay, let's look at the Anglo-Irish Treaty. Collins, went over, Michael Collins, who a lot of people know, went over and he signed this treaty. Now, because when you look at what the word treaty is, it's an international document, but Ireland was still then under the crown, so how can it be an international
document? Michael Collins and the other signatories did not sign the treaty. They signed what was called, and you can find this again online, the proposed articles for agreement between Great Britain and Ireland.
Right.
They were only proposed.
So was it a treaty
The document was later altered, and they X'd out the word proposed, and it became articles for agreement. So it was an altered document. Plus, one of the signatories, his signature was cut off a menu card and stuck onto the document. It's a forged document anyway, for that marriage alone. And there was no treaty. You can find all of this information online if you look hard enough.
That's incredible.
You certainly won't get in the history books, though, Christina, will you?
Not at all.
So it's great that, you know, you have yourself and Billy who are really getting out there and doing it, but you're facing all sorts of opposition everywhere you go, you know?
Yes, look at for our 160th anniversary, although we had put out a press release in January stating that was going to come along and that we'd be at Lombard Street and going to Glasnevin, no media at all coverage. But, you know, at the end of the day, what do you expect? The National Union of Journalists are registered in London. Everything goes through London. Under the 26 counties stems out of London, and that's just it. I mean, RTE is the propaganda department for the Free State.
Exactly.
Could you give the name of the book out, Shane, Brian? Brian? You
know? Yes.
Yeah, Graham, sorry. You want to jump in?
I was just going to ask Christina, could you give out the name of the book again, please? People are asking in the chat.
Okay, it's Francis Carroll's book, and it's called Money for Ireland.
Thank you.
Okay,
Professor
Francis Carroll.
Thank you.
You can only
buy it in hardback, unfortunately.
Right. There's another man, Bulmer Hobson. He played a very important role in all of this too, didn't he?
Oh, yes. There were many, many of them. He would be one, of course.
And,
I knew Bulmer Hobson very well.
You actually met him?
He taught me. As did Kathleen Clark and that. You know, I'm the anointed heir to the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. Yeah. I was anointed by the Pope Pius XII, he sent me in 1950. Yeah. And it was the first time that we were recognised by Rome as a sovereign Dáil Éireann government. And they were the first to do it. But if you go to Carson in 1912, who founded the Ulster Volunteers, that's very important. And in 1913, it became the UVF Army, because Guinness's gave 100,000, Lord Rothschild gave 100,000, and Rupert Kipling gave 50,000 to buy those top-class German guns for the UVF Army. And as a consequence of that, the intelligence officers of the Irish Republican Brotherhood had reported to the Executive Supreme Council, and they founded the Irish Volunteers and as a defence force. And in 1914, the UVF Army declared war on Britain and Ireland if Home Rule was imposed by the British government. And that was the start then of And Tom, my granduncle, who coordinated the War of Independence, he was sent to Calcutta in India to collect the intelligence on the Crown forces. And Sam McGuire, who was secretary of the Irish and Fianna Fáil, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, he was sent to the post office in London. And he brought all that intelligence that Tom collected in India to Vaughan's Hotel every week, up under those tunnels which Bartle D'Arcy opened for the 2016 exhibition. They declared they weren't there, but then they were there. We were down, Christine, and she'll tell you all about them. But the interesting thing is that India's independence came out of Vaughan's Hotel, and Geary, the fourth president of India, he was in Dublin, I think it was 1912. I met him as a child, and he was here, and it was the Liverpool salt tax that united, it was the GAA united the Irish and Fenian Republican Brother and all Irish people, because they had a club in every little town and village in Ireland, and the Hurleys were known. You see, the Crown forces were ruthless, and they were savage on the people here, and those Hurleys were known as the Tipperary Rifles. That's how they practiced. They hadn't any arms or anything like that. But Geary, anyway, he was here, and he was a member of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brother. He was a member of Sinn Féin and Ogden Éireann, and that's how they got. And they celebrate that still. And our sovereign constitution is their sovereign constitution, and our flag is their flag. They have it, our flag the other way around.
That's
the link. And I met him as a child in Willowbank, where I lived. I told you, down in Plassey, and he told me as a child. I was very young at the time, but I always remember it, and he came to see my father, and he said that, oh, we lost India at the Battle of Plassey, and we found India again, he said, at Plassey, where he was that day, and at Vaughan's Hotel. Because my family, it was the Liverpool salt tax the British government imposed on India. You had to have, it was the only way you had preserving food was salt in those days, and we were one of the oldest salt merchants on record. And if you, for people listening in London, if you go down to Maguire Street, we were on Old London Bridge in 1200. We traded from from Maguire Street, which is one of the of our ports, with the Roman Empire. We traded salt, and we traded all other commodities. We controlled the oats trade in London until up to. I suppose my grandfather's time, and so we know London business. We're the business agents for the Spanish Empire, and in 1601 we were down. Spain, and we were related into the Duke of Alba's family, and he got us down on that road to Rome. And that's how we got down to Rome. And we have all those records and everything else. But I'm very sad about the records that we gave Willowbank, which is a magnificent old house right on the River Shannon, there at Plassey, where I was telling you about, where I met Geary as a child. He came to a lot of these people. Excuse me, would come. But that's very important that you understand how arson and how that the Irish volunteers were set up as a consequence of the Ulster Volunteers being set up and all that money being given by Guinness's Lord Ross. And, even that's a desecration of our sovereign seal. Guinnesses have that sacred symbol on their pint of Guinness, and that should not be tolerated, And that
they turned it around, isn't it? Yeah. It's reversible.
Well, they call it what the O'Neill harp, but it still is. There's still harps in that, and I mean the Brian Brew harp. You'll see the Brian Brew harp in anyone who goes to Trinity, and you'll see the eye which I told you about. The eye which is the hub of the wheel, or I told you where the light comes through the in the old days and the old saints and that. Would come on, and the light would come into that, as is in Terminini in Rome, that basilica, and it served how we got our 12 months calendar. But You know, all these things have a meaning, and they shouldn't be lost. That's all. I'm not telling young people to work, but they should know where they come from and where, you know, people, engineers and people working in should know where the electricians and understand, and they should understand where your trade and is coming from, and why you're doing it, and where you're coming, and you use your hands, your two hands, those five fingers on your hands, and you're using your intellect and your five senses, and that's crucial, and that's what they were doing. They carried on their buttons those Irish one, eight strings, IV, Irish Volunteers, Ogden Aherne, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a most wonderful history of any country in the world. There's very few countries can go back and claim 10,000 years of their history and their sovereignty, and what they held and what they carried. And I have to say, Britain, I mean, if anyone wants to go down to Tower Bridge there, Maguire Street and Wharf is beside this.
That's in the east end of London, Billy, is it? That's in the east end down by the docks, is it?
Down by the docks. It's right on the docks, right?
Yeah.
Maguire Street and Maguire's Wharf is there on it. And we traded that. We were on Old London Bridge in 1200. So we know Britain a long time. And we traded salt. Our bills of lading go back to the Roman Empire. I mean, that's a long time. Trading. We're seafaring people.
It's amazing how you're able to trace all that back, Billy. That goes a long, long way back, and you're able to trace all that back.
Christopher Columbus, he called on my family for information on the Brendan voyage, and that's how they, you know, Sir Patrick Maguire was the one who taught him, and they taught us there were caravels, they couldn't control them for the Atlantic Ocean. They were used to sailing the Mediterranean, which was a much calmer sea. And the keel of the ship, which I explained to you, which is also the fellows of the wheel, how the wheel was invented. And Fitzpatrick Maguire, all that information was given to the University of Limerick. And they will not tell anybody what they've done with all that information. Can you imagine giving them all that information? It was all in Willowbank when we handed over Willowbank to the university.
And can I ask you, Billy, Christine as well? Have you made contact with families of people, you know, who were involved in 1916 and the War of Independence, whatever, to get them to help? They're not interested, though. That's very strange, because
the Civil War caused an awful split here. You know, I was very friendly. I was taught by Kathleen Clark and Countess Markovitch and all these people, because Limerick and the Dailies and all those people. Because we had Vaughan Sertel and Michael Collins, he lived with my family. I mean, I had Michael Collins's, a lot of his memorabilia and that, and he lived with my family. But it seemed to me, we always seemed to be betrayed in the end. That book that Christine is talking about, I mean, that Francis Carter, he's Canadian, and his people were evicted here. This so-called famine that never really happened. It was a Holocaust. They got rid of it. They wanted the land. And all that food was being produced for the Crown forces. And our own people starved, all those. But his mother sent him. I spoke to him there at Christmas. You should interview him. He's a brilliant man. He was sent to Trinity in Dublin. And that's, he researched all that. So, his assessment is that, and the assessment of the American courts were that the sovereign Dalairn government is by the will and wish of all the people of the 30. That's what we hold, the sovereignty in this Dalairn and the Dalairn courts. But the Free State was imposed by King George V under the crown. It comes from a different source, and that's the difference between the two. And I don't see how Europe is going to get out of this one, because I think it's going to split Europe. All 27 countries will be split in two over the border. How can you give a part of another sovereign country away to another country? You can't do it. Because if they can do this, if they can give the six counties to Britain, well then it means that it can give any one of the 27 countries or any part of them away.
Right. Well, I'll tell you sorry, Billy, just finish there and I'll jump in. Yeah, I'll just say that I don't think there's going to be a Brexit because a lot of people been doing research on this, that Britain has signed up to EU military union. And even though they're talking Brexit and we want to get out, but the fact is they've signed up to EU military union. So it's like, how can a country like Britain give away its military to Brussels and remain a nation state? It can't.
You can't.
You have
do
to
it.
Have a defence force.
How can,
so the EU now, I think, is our, you know, that's the problem. They are literally want to take over the whole of Europe, govern it from Brussels, pretty much like it was under communism in the Soviet Union, and no one has a say, unelected bureaucrats, nameless bureaucrats, and we will basically be slaves under a new Soviet system.
Absolutely.
That's from what I see.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
And how can you be subjects and sovereign at the same time? You can't be subjects and sovereign at the same time. And Britain are not, the British people are not sovereign citizens. They're subjects to the Crown. And their sovereignty was usurped by, you can go back to Pope Adrian IV, and you can go back to Henry VIII. You can go back, they usurped, all sovereignty comes from God. Whereas the Magna Carta, that's man-made. And being subject, that's man-made. And that's the difference. It's slavery. That's been slavery. That should not be tolerated.
So when people think that common law is a great good thing, but actually it's not really, because it can be usurped. But of course what we had in our country, and I know, Christina, you're big into this, is the Brehon Laws, which is a most beautiful, amazing law system, which is as close to natural law as you can get.
You should go down to Carnahalla there sometime and have a look at Carnahalla and to see it is an intact site. And I said to you, all those are aligned to, I'm aligned here where I live in Kappa. I can see Lochgar, and I can see those two yew trees here showing me the way. And I can see all that. You can go and see it. You can witness it. All we're asking is children to go and witness that for themselves and to truth, knowledge and information and be happy in yourself. And nobody should enslave you, and nobody should tell you a pack of lies and deception, as we've been told, you know, for generations, people trying to get your land and trying to get you working for nothing in slavery. That's not on. There's enough for everybody, but you have to govern it properly. And we can govern it properly.
Billy, what's your definition of a sovereign government? What is that? Well, is it that you have a kind of...
People are sovereign, number one. The people are sovereign.
People are sovereign, right. But then you elect a government who are totally accountable. Is that what it is?
Absolutely accountable. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And if somebody does something, they should pay the price for it. And
that's why you have the turning of the sovereign seal on the 21st of January, so you give license. The people give license back to the government to say, you can do this, or you can do that.
Well, that's it. And our government is sovereign from the 21st of January to the 20th of January each and every year. And that sovereignty returns to the people and to the sovereign government. They have to account for that. And you have to account. And the licenses, you only have a license for 12 years because there's no license issued here, as you know, because the provincial government doesn't have the right to issue a license because of the Crown of England won't allow them and never allowed them. But so we can allow a weekend because we hold the sovereignty and legitimacy of the state. And I mean, just when you think of what we had, and you think of India's independence, and those people come to the Mansion House, and there a couple of years ago, you know, they wouldn't allow us into the Mansion House and all this, and having our tricolour flag up in the, and using that and using the sovereigns. How can a provisional government use the sovereign seal in Europe? They can't do it. General de Gaulle was right. He wouldn't allow Britain in because they didn't have a sovereign government. They got in under our sovereignty of the 21st of January 1919, and now they're gone. We don't want them to go, but that's what they've decided to do. And I think it's going to be a disaster. But Britain think they're going to control the world again. But they always sent in, they solved everything by sending in their crown forces to impose and to the crown. And that's what they did. And they were ruthless and they were brutal in this country to the people.
Absolutely.
The way
well, anywhere they went, Billy, they were the same, you know. And, and unfortunately, our next-door neighbours, you know, we really...
They're the most warlike neighbours in the whole world. We seem to have them next door, and no matter what we have. Well, you think now, I was very disappointed with the Queen's visit. I thought it was a wonderful idea and everything else, and I was
I was talking to by Harrington, and the Earl of Harrington, and he put terrific work in. He took his seat in the House of Lords and the Presbyterian people, which my own maternal father, grandfather William Nixon, he would be one of the old dissenters, where he believed in God and the sovereignty, and the sovereignty of mankind, and that. And Bulmer Hobson, they were all into that, because we were very friendly with Bulmer Hobson, and he was a lovely person, and a great, great, a great man. I mean, I met all those extraordinary people coming to Willowbank. They used to all come on the Mon, the Fina, Amy, the Hare, you know, the Dailies, all those people coming, and so how I learned it, and that's how I came. And I was anointed as when I was 7 in St. Patrick's Church in Emmy. And you know, and the links were there. And John Francis McGuire, who was, that was his paper, the Cork Examiner. He was a great, you know, and that was the link to Rome and that. So those links. And then being the Duchess of Alba, the Duke of Alba, that's how we got down, because the McGuires were married into that. And we were trading. We were a seafaring family. And that's where we traded all over the world, and they were well known, and they were well known in London and that. And the GEA, I mean, the GEA is our, as you know, the, our organisation, which was the most successful. They say we had 50,000 members of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. It would be mostly IRB. The Fenian was for America, and the Fenians were around, which was when, on that date, in 1858, when James Stephen, put the organisation into, you know, that's what it was for, to set up the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, to set up the Sovereign Dáil-Éireann government, the Sovereign Dáil-Éireann courts, and the War of Independence as a defence force. That's what it was, to protect the people, and that's what they did. And that,
but then, Billy, there's a lot of people who will say that the Queen of England isn't the legitimate Queen, because, you know, we're talking about the Stone of Destiny was found at the Hill of Tara, it was taken to Scotland, and then it was brought down. And was she sitting on the proper stone? You know, there's a lot of that.
No, they were so deceptive. And, I mean, I saw it there, you know. I mean, that was a huge risk to take, you know, for me personally, to guarantee the Queen's safety here. And all those Republican people, they all stood by it. And, I mean, she should have, could have been easily executed here. And blowing up
and what about the current Sinn Féin that we have here now? I mean, are any of them interested? They're not interested.
They don't even recognise the Irish Fenian Republican Brotherhood, you know. And,
well, actually, the way I look at them is, Billy, I'd say they're Marxists. They believe in the communist kind of ideology.
See, they took their seat. I said to you on the 6th of December 1921, when Michael Collins and the Free State government went down and bought the Leinster House from the Royal Dublin Society, who had their show there. And Sinn Féin wouldn't take their seats in Leinster House because it was under the Duke of Leinster, and it was under the Crown of England. And that's what they did. And because on the 21st of January 1919, we had Michael Collins, he was Minister for Finance. But on the 6th of December 1921, when he stepped down from the IRB, and when he went down and did what he did, he was only provisional Minister of Finance. Yeah. They're only provisional government. And a provisional government cannot sit in the European Parliament. And it's time they realise it. And I have written, and I have asked, because that money that they imposed on us as a national debt on the 6th of December, that is 200 billion plus today. And before Britain leaves, and I sent a bill to Brexit before they leave, to Michel Barnier, for 200 billion plus. And that's the IRB are owed that money, and we want our money, and all our territory, right over to America and Canada, and we have the largest territory in Europe. You cannot give another country's territory away, and I don't see how Britain can, you know, no matter what way or what lovely language they can, they're doing, they're trying to get the sympathy vote now of everybody at the moment, that everyone would be behind them and Britain would be great again, and but they can't send in their crown forces again into countries and just destroy the people and destroy everything. That day is gone. And I think they should realise that. You have to complete. There's a big world out there now. Europe is very 27 countries, and 27 countries are... And all we hear is Simon Coveney's father, Hugh Coveney, was the man who got Advance for 10. I met Hugh Coveney the week before he died. and, yeah. and whether he was put to himself. You know, and all she's talking about is the six counties. There'll be no six counties. Six counties is in the legal assembly. Yeah, and I can't understand. You know,
so, Billy, what would you say to unionists and loyalists up north? What would you say to them?
Unionists and loyalists are sovereign citizens here. And look, if in Britain, they're on
the Would they accept that, though? Will they accept that? Will they say, well, we're loyal
to the
crown?
Well, I think it's a matter of money. If they're going to continue to... Look, it'll cost Britain at least €1 billion a year for them to have this... that they have to pay the sovereign Republic of Era. They will have to pay that a year. They're not looking at the facts. It's going to cost them, they owe $200 billion, and they would have to pay $1 billion. There'll be very little left out of that. You know, land and farming and that, there's not a lot of money out of it. And I think it's not going to be great. If they think that they're going to walk away without paying their bill, they can think again, because that money is owed, and that money is owed to the Irish. We're the only ones that can legally claim that money, because that was what, on the 6th of December... And $200 billion is a lot of money for Britain to find, and £1 billion a year is a lot of money to pay the sovereign dollar in government every year. And if that's what they want, that's what they're going to get. And if that's
will that actually realistically happen, though, Billy? That's the thing, you know. It'd be great to get all that back.
Realistically, happen if Irish people stand up Simon Coveney stop telling lies, the propaganda lies, and you hear an RTE every day. Oh, the Dáil-Éireann. Dáil-Éireann never sat in Leinster House, and they should have to prove that. And you hear these politicians going running off over. They run up. They put up our tricolour flag. They have no right to put up our tricolour flag. They have no, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And if Europe doesn't like that, we'll ask them to take down. I have already asked them to take down our tricolour flag. And
what did they say?
Put up, they're looking at it, but. That was to put up,
looking at
as you know, 1916, taken down by Dermot Lynch and kept in Vaughan's Hotel, and it was ratified on the 21st of January 1919. And the Sovereign Seals, they're all Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And that's what we have, and that's what we're going to insist on.
I just segue a bit off here. I don't know if you heard of it, but in South Africa, you know, South Africa's having major problems at the moment. A lot of white farmers are being genocided, and the ANC government, who are basically communistic in many ways, right? But there is a big movement now by the Khoi people in South Africa, who are down around the Cape, around Cape Town, around that whole area. And they're looking now to set up the sovereign state of Good Hope. And they've gone down all the legal channels, right, as in... They have their landmass, they have their people, they have their king and their government, and they got recognition, I think, by about 6 or 7 other African countries. The king of the Khoi Nation went to the UN there just last week, and he was basically ignored. This man, by the way, Billy, if you listen to him, I will send you some links, you can listen to him. This man understands sovereignty. He understands it.
And of course,
I'd like to be able to, it'd be great if, you know, if I can put you in touch with him as well, because...
And you see, our sovereign constitution, Article 10, the land of Ireland belongs to the citizens of Ireland and to them alone. And does that tell you any more? And that was voted for by the will and wish of all the people of the 32 counties. And it's there in black and white for anyone to read if they want to read it. And I think that's so important. In extract, I might get Christina to read it or...
Christina, if you're there,
I'm nearly asleep.
We're nearly done. We've got about 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes. We can just round this up, Christina.
I'd like to read the first, if I can find it. Hold 1 second, please.
What about the declaration that the IRB made to the world, you know, that we were setting up the Sovereign Republic of Era.
Message to the Free Nations.
Yeah, read that out, Christine.
I'd like to... Hello?
Billy can read it. He's the man, yeah.
The Constitution, this is the Sovereign Constitution. The Constitution and Vaughan Hotel, Republic of Ireland, IRB.
Hold on, I've got to put on the light here.
just read the first of it. Is to thee, most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we the people of Ireland dedicate our constitution and beg the guidance of the Holy Spirit that it may, in consequence with thy divine will, and contribute to the greater glory. Amen. This constitution shall be the constitution of the Republic of Ireland, proclaimed in arms on Easter Monday, April the 24th, 1916, and established by the will of the people of Ireland on January the 21st, 1919. Article 1. The sovereignty of the nation is inalienable. It is therefore not within the competence of any generation of people to surrender that sovereignty which each generation holds in trust for the nation. The question of surrender of national independence may not be submitted to an electorate. Subject to the fundamental principles, we hereby declare that all authority in Ireland, legislative, executive and judicial, and all powers of government are derived solely under God from the people of Ireland. These powers are inherent in the people alone by virtue of their sovereignty. They must be exercised in accordance with the principles of liberty, equality and justice for all. Any legislation not in accordance with these principles is hereby declared to be null and void. And then it goes on, Article 2, freedom of conscience and guaranteed in every citizen. And then, but I'll just read one because I don't want to, anyone can, you can get those up in Billy Maguire, I'm told, anyway. And Article 10, the land of Ireland belongs to the citizens of Ireland and to them alone. And doesn't that answer your six counties? This is the 21st of January 1919, by the will and wish of all the people of Ireland. Even your house, even those awful vulture funds, if they take your house, slate by slate, brick by brick, you still owned your land. And people should know that. And you should also know that not one of those vulture funds or banks have a license. And the license is the sovereign seal with 12 strings with air underneath it. And we hold that. And
Billy, is it so sad to see so many people being thrown out of their homes? I mean, I'm in the process, but they're trying to come after me too. And I'm trying to go down the legal channels to...
Well, ask them.
I'm still here. I'm still here, Billy, after 4 years doing it, you know. So.
And ask them to show them the license. Ask all of us, if a guard stops you, a civil servant or anybody else, or any civil... ask them, can I see your license, please? He has to have a license, or she has to have a license. And it has to have 12 strings.
I love that.
Underneath.
I love
and
that.
Those are
Graham, you want to jump in there?
I just say I love that you have to get a license. Of course, we did that when I came to visit with Paul Cotty, and he had a parking ticket to pay, and he went to the offices, and he says, I've got the money here. I brought a... this is the third time I've been. I brought a witness with me this time. I'm willing to pay, but I just need to see your operator's license. And of course, they couldn't. So that was the end of it. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
What was the end of that?
The other thing,
they didn't have it.
No, they didn't have the license, Billy. No, so he didn't.
Cancers. That's all they are. Is cancers. Yes. They don't have it.
No, absolutely.
And this is why Europe, it will split Europe into the border in Ireland. Ireland will split Europe into, because every time our sovereignty has been desecrated, and look at on in as Christine said, in 2008, when the GAA took off the sovereign seal and air off the medal without telling anybody, and all those players think they're still getting an All-Ireland medal, it's only a GAA medal. They said, oh, nothing would happen. Look what happened to the banks. Look what happened to the whole country. It all went downhill. Yeah. Every time it's been desecrated. Look what happened to the press. The Hebrew people, they took it to war. And look what happened to them. They're still paying for it. Every time. Look what happened to 1155 when Pope Adrian IV gave it to Henry II. It caused the Hundred Years' War. You know, and they say, oh, no, it doesn't. No, no, nothing would happen. It does happen. And it will happen.
I have to say, I was the thing that's I'm still in shock, to be honest with you, Billy, that Christina mentioned that when Michael Collins and his delegation went to sign the treaty, that it was altered. That's incredible.
There's no treaty. There was never a treaty signed.
I never knew that. I wonder if anyone knew that.
Yeah, what's your opinion of Michael Collins then? Because I always thought, you know...
Well, he lived with my family. I have a lot of his
My granduncle actually knew him very well too. He actually fought with him. We got a picture of the two of them together.
I have the box from the back of the car. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I even have the cross that Tom Barry put in his hand. Bale of Law, that box is the Bale of Law, and I had... part of his uniform and that, you know, all bloodstained and that. But I don't like to talk about that, and I don't like, I have great respect for the man,
what do you think happened there, Billy? What do you think happened? Was he under pressure? I mean, Dev stole the limelight. Because it should have been De Valera, but, I mean, was De Valera part of the plan? Was he... Yeah, was he the traitor, basically?
Britain have always, they have no notion of ever. I saw it myself when the Queen was here, and all the work I put into doing that, and all the work we put into honouring that, and we were treated with contempt the minute she left the place. And, I had all these top-class civil servants. I mean, Lord Hankton went to school with Willie Whitelaw, and that Tom King, he was in his regiment. And, I mean, he's... grandchildren are married to Lindley and those others, and their house in London is the Foreign Office, and he was a very important man. And you think that now, I know he died that year, so he didn't actually see her here, but he could drive up to, I could tell you great stories. But it's shocking to me, they treat us with total contempt, that we're not really real people, and we're not able to govern, and we're not able to manage. And yet they interfered with the Hawks and the Sovereign. What are they doing with our sovereignty, the dollar, and up in the coat of arms and of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland? Because we hold our sovereignty. Britain doesn't have a sovereign government. This is a royal government. Royal Courts of Justice and the Crown Force. And
they'll say it's a constitutional monarchy. That's what they'll say. It's a constitutional monarchy.
The constitutional monarchy is
And it goes back, of course, to the Magna Carta type of thing,
The Magna Carta. But that's man-made. It's not sovereign.
Yeah, that was for the barons. It wasn't for the people, was it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but you see, that was the first time, and that controlled the king. And if you don't control God, you've nothing to... And they've been troubled with that ever since. Henry VIII was troubled. He usurped the sovereignty. And Dieu mon droit, that... The crown is equal to God. Sure, that is not right. The crown is not equal to God. And that's what they claim, but she never says that, but she gets everybody else to say it. Britain doesn't have sovereignty, and it doesn't have 1155, and with Henry VIII and that, they have royalty, and that's what they have. And if you look at the courts, and you look at what happened here, you're obviously, and you mentioned the Brehon Law, yeah. That is that solvency up in the Royal Courts of Justice. Anyone could take a case in Brehon Law in the English courts, and I don't know why Irish people don't do it over there. I think eventually all this will come out. Eventually, I think, but I won't see it.
And Billy, the 1938 Constitution—that's a Crown document, isn't it? So people in England can use that.
Five. I told you, there's five constitutions.
Name the five constitutions there for us, so we all know what we're living under here.
Can I do it now? You have the sovereign constitution. Yeah. You have then you have the free state constitution. That was Michael Collins in the Shelburne Hotel under the Crown, and then you have 37 constitution. That's three.
That's De Valera.
The British constitution. Yeah, De Valera. He rejigged the sovereign constitution. Yeah. And you have the British constitution. And you have the European constitution.
The British constitution is what? That's the Good Friday Agreement, or is that what was that?
No, it goes back further than that. Yeah, they claim they have a constitution.
Oh, really?
And that's the constitution, they do. Yeah. And we have five governments in a little state like Ireland. And they're all pulling and dragging at it because they know it all goes back to what I said, the covenant between God and man with all the information knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. And every time they've tried to go away from that, they've always ended up in trouble. And that's
well, it's no wonder, Billy, that the elite who they want to put us down because we have all this knowledge. They can't. No wonder Ireland has been, you know, under the yoke of oppression for.
Well, we've all done it, yeah. But we've sacrificed all that, and people have, yeah. And families have. And yeah. As I said, we control the oats trade in London, in yeah. Right up into to I think my great grandfather's time, and you know we're very very much involved in London. We would have seen all that and the need. It's a great. It was wonderful. But how they did it, as the Queen said here. That she wished things had been done differently, and don't we all? And isn't that what we're trying to do today?
Exactly.
We're all hoping to do yeah. that things will be done differently, and we'll yeah. have proper governance. But for Europe, if Europe thinks that they can impose what King George V imposed on the 6th of December 1921 on the British government, that they can impose that, they can think again, that's yeah. not sovereignty, that's yeah. royalty. And yeah. if they think that they can sort of give that to Britain, as a sort of a soft oil, as they used to call it, or, you know, yeah. as a sweetener or something or other. Yeah. I don't think that's out and use yeah. us. We're not going to be used anymore. We have 70 million people worldwide, yeah. and they'll hear from us.
Well, Christina, we'll end off with you. But just before I say that, one thing that you brought up, Billy, earlier in the talk was about how the Bishop of Limerick put a curse on Cromwell, and he died. Bishop yeah. O'Brien, yeah. And when you think about actually what he did, what Cromwell did when he came to Ireland, you know, and, you know, karma, it all came back. And, you know, that's amazing. I never knew that. That is a
yeah,
very
interesting. Yeah, but you see all those stones in Loch Garr. Have you ever been to Loch Garr?
I haven't, Billy, actually. No, I have to come down and visit you someday. I have to come down and say hello.
Well, you're very welcome. While I'm still alive.
I'll be down soon, yeah. I'll have to go down.
But they defaced all those stones. That's what they did, Cromwell's army. And all that information that was on those stones, because Eugene O'Curry, who's one of my ancestors, and John O'Donovan, you come across those, and they would have been great. But my family have been, you know, Cuchonach Maguire was the last of my ancestors who owned from Manor Loch Earn and the River Shannon, and he was poisoned, because they had to have, that's where... The pail went as far as the Shannon. They couldn't control Ireland without the Shannon. And that was ours. That's how we were in Limerick from. We're from Manus, where we're from.
All right.
Speaking of going back up there, the way I'm treated down here by our own.
Yeah,
nice. They don't like us. Yeah.
So when I come
to Christina, final words from you, and we'll close this out.
Well, I've enjoyed the conversation immensely.
So have I, Christina. So have I.
Yeah, it's just it's an incredible... Beautiful history, really. It's a sad history.
It is a sad history, but it's a wonderful history.
When you look at how it all started and how it all began, and then you kind of realize, no wonder we are the way we are at this moment. But if we get this information out to people, get them away from their smartphones, and get them away from their nonsense, you know what I mean? And start looking at this. And we can't get it back.
BillyMaguire.com. All the information is on BillyMaguire.com.
Billy Maguire.
It's all one word, I'm told. It's very difficult to get into it.
And it's M-C. M-C-G-U-I-R-E. Yes. Not M-A. A lot of people make
things. M-C-G-U-I-R-E. Billy Maguire.
Yeah, BillyMaguire.com.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff on there. Billy is there. He's a stalwart. He's been doing this for years and years. And he's brought up into this. He was bred into it. And Christina, you were as well. And I had it in my family too. I got a lot of this information.
Well, that's great. I didn't know that. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And when
I think the problem was, Billy, that they kind of... I remember my mother telling me about when my grandfather and my granduncle were talking about after the Civil War. They were very sad about what happened. That brother and sister were fighting each other. And both of them fought on the side of Collins because they thought that that was the way forward, you know. And, you know, but we're a staunch kind of, you know, Republican family. We're very proud of Ireland.
You have to read that book, Money for Ireland. You have to read that to get
a look at that, definitely. Yeah.
And you have to read that other book, the England's Greatest Spy, on De Valera. I mean, when you read that and you...
I've heard about that one, yes.
Read those two books alone, and I'll tell you, locally. The lies and the deception. You look at the RTE here. They come out every morning and say, darling,
and the minister for this, and when they're running for this, and this annuity they have, Rialtas na Héireann, you know, is the Irish Free State. That's what it is. And why can't they say it?
They can't.
You know, why can't they tell the truth for once?
Because they're controlled by
anyway,
Hebrews, Bill.
I enjoyed the conversation with
you.
Yes,
Billy, thank you very much. And again, happy anniversary to the IRB, 160 years
ago. Thank you
very
much. You're a true gentleman now to say that to us.
Yeah. And we'll keep it going. Keep it going, Billy, and another 160 years we'll be here.
I'm too old. I'm 75 now this year, and I'm going
to... Yeah, good man, you're still going strong there, sir. You're a good soldier. You're
55 years I'm doing it, and my family are doing it 99. So
Christina, great to see you. You know, I've met you a few times.
Great.
A lovely woman, and she's fully committed as well. And it's great to see that there is, even though most people are kind of asleep at the wheel, there are people here behind the scenes who are actually trying to do something right and get our sovereignty back. And then by extension, let's spread it all over the place. And let's people be all, we have to be sovereign, all of us. That's what it's all about. That's the key, sovereignty.
That's the key. Sovereignty is the key. If you haven't sovereignty, you're a slave, isn't that it?
That's it. That's exactly it. You're either one or the other. Make your choice.
Well, it's been great having you both on. When Breiser comes, when I come to make my annual visit to Ireland, Billy, maybe I could make the join Breiser and come in to meet you. I'd love to meet you and you, Christina.
Still around.
Yeah.
You'll still
Christina,
be around,
sir. She's got a house in the hill in County Leash, not too far where I'm living from, and... beautiful place, you know, just look out over the hills there, and you can see the green land and everything. It's you know...
All we want is our sovereign government. That's all we want.
Yeah.
Look, we have everything we could have, and people getting up every morning, working there and keeping going. It's nice to know what you're doing it for, right? Besides all this all lies and deception and being treated and being done out of your house and being done out of your land. And
We're a bit robbed, Billy. Simple as that. We have to stop this now. Stop this nonsense.
Thank you.
It has to stop. And we can do it. We can do it, but we have to keep at it.
Absolutely.
Never give up. Never give up. You know, we're warriors. You know, we have to look back to the warriors.
Those people went out and didn't give up. Aid string IV.
They did not. No.
They carried that on their buttons. Aid string Irish Volunteers, Ogden the Heron, and they put it up in the Mansion House for us. And for our welfare, and for your children and your grandchildren, they'd be sovereign citizens, and they would have a proper life. And that's what they did. And we're grateful to them for doing that.
Yep. Thank you so much, Billy.
Good night, to you. And
good night,
Billy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We'll be in touch again. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you. Good night.
Good
night to you all. Take care now. Bye bye.
Okay, folks, there we go. That was a quiet night for me. Nice and interesting. Very interesting. I love Irish history. It's incredible. On that point that, again, Brian, that Christina made about the document that was altered, I find that amazing. Absolutely amazing. The other thing I would like to mention, there's a Dennis Wise is doing a new series called... The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II, and Part 11 is about Ireland. And it's very, very interesting. So I thought just that I put that out there. And also, I know Billy's left us now, but if you could pass on, Christina, that the UK is made up of Scotland, England, Wales, and Cornwall. I'm a Celt in Cornwall, so I'm not English, I'm Cornish. So I'm a Cornish national. If you would pass that on, I would be grateful.
I will indeed.
Yes, Cornwall, it's a beautiful place, Christina. I went down to visit Graham there a month ago or so. Beautiful, very like the west coast of Ireland.
Beautiful.
And lovely people, you know, and they have that same sense of attachment to the land and their history. But of course, you know, it's been eroded through time, but there's still people there who are
still
standing up
it.
For where they're from. You know, this is our land and that's it, so...
And you're very knowledgeable on Breton law, Christine, I believe.
A fair interest in Breton law. I started studying it. You have to go back to the old Irish language in order to understand it, because it's still kept in the manuscripts. Trinity College will have a lot of the manuscripts still, and where it wasn't just about religion kept in manuscripts, it was the old laws as well. And...
Yeah.
Out of five books of law that we know, the largest is the Shanachas Mór, And in the part that has been translated into the English language, there are already 14 books of law quoted. So it's huge and extensive, the Brehon Laws. What the word Brehon comes, it's an English word. It comes from the Irish word brehev, where people would have come to study the laws.
Yeah.
And that's where, how the word Brehon came. It was actually the Fenachas, the laws of the Fenian, the laws of the free people.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. And it is, it's just amazing, you know.
Yes.
You can't beat it. It's just, it's all about equity. I remember talking to a lady I know in America, where she's talking about equity and law, and I told her about the Brehon Laws, and she said, that's it. That's it right there. Equity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. It's just, but of course we have this legalese and this nonsense, this maritime nonsense that we have now, you know?
Yes.
So we need to bring that back in, the principles of Brehon Law back.
Indeed.
And
it'll be a slow process.
It's a slow process. A lot of learning.
A lot of learning. And yeah. I mean, the first step would be to learn the old ancient texts, you know, that language and where they were kept, you know.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to learn that. It's a small.
Oh, it is.
It's a process of learning a new language. We had the old Clo Gaelic. But that was how our alphabet was. It's not like the English alphabet where the Irish language is now. Ireland, the language went through many phases, but the old Clo Gaelic is how and where the laws are.
Yeah.
And the harp is very much prominent in all of that knowledge as well.
Amazing. There's only 18 letters in the Irish alphabet, isn't there?
That's right. Characters, they're called, yeah.
Characters, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's astounding stuff when you look into this. It really is. It's like, wow.
We are an ancient civilization.
Ancient, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do a show, Brian.
They want to destroy that.
I think that was their agenda, for sure. But luckily enough, I mean, you earlier mentioned the Hill of Tara. Well, the Hill of Tara in County Meath was not the actual Hill of Tara, Tara. Basically, if you go back through the various invasions of this land, we had the Firbolg, who brought the concept of high kingship into the land, and their stone, their inaugural stone, was the original inaugural stone, which is the Leah Fall.
Right.
Okay? And that was in Tara, well, Tyrone, they call it, over in Galway. And if you look at the dynamic of the land around and the name of the names of the area around, it's not too far from Athenry, Athenry, the place of the kings.
In the
old maps that you will find, the Greek maps from the 6th century, you will see the largest settlement of all of Europe as we know it today was in that area. And that is where the Firbolg, that was the main city, that's the Tower of the Legends. It was in the 9th century, the O'Neills had their scribes change it to Tara in County Meath.
Ah, that's interesting.
It is. Now, there's a book, you might find it online, by Tom O'Connor. He was a priest, and he spent 40 years researching this.
Mm.
Okay? And his findings are in that book.
Amazing.
Brilliant stuff.
Thank you so much, Christina. We're going to have to wrap it up. It's been fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for coming on.
Christina, I'll have to drop down and say hello to you at some point.
Drop up.
Yeah, I will. I'll drop up a cup of sovereign tea, as they say.
A cup of sovereign tea. It'd be lovely, Brian, to see you.
I will do. Yeah, it would be great. It's been a year or two, I suppose. Isn't it? I saw you at the Sovereign Seal there about 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, that was probably the last time I saw you then.
I think it was, yeah. So I'll definitely have to, you know. So
it'd be great to see you, Brian.
You too, Christina. And thanks
for the opportunity.
Not a problem. We have to put it out there. And thanks to Billy, a great guy, you know. And
amazing.
Brilliant. So thanks for coming on.
And talking about tea, Bri, I think I should also mention coffee as well. You'll find a little sticker, a donate button, ladies and gentlemen, on the grism.blogspot.com website. Buy Zap a cup of coffee. So if you enjoy listening to these shows, we can't put them out there without Zap. Zap does an amazing amount of work behind the scenes that there would be no way we could do this show without him. So He's struggling just a little bit at the moment, so if you would make a donation, we would really, really appreciate it. And so would Zap as well. So with that, Christina, thank you so much. Thank you, Bri. Great interview. It's nice to sit back and listen. A night off, my friend, from me. But it was very, very interesting. Okay, folks, there we go. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week, same time. I think we move back into the same time zones now.
Time zone again.
We're back on track. And with us next week will be Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Michael Walsh. So I look forward to that. In the meantime, have a great week, and we will speak to you again.
See
next
you
week.
Then.
Yeah. I hope you're listening. Good night, folks. God bless. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Good night. Thank you.
Night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you, Christina.
Hey, hi. What? I think the Goyim know. That's ridiculous. The Goyim don't know. I think they know, man. They don't know. They know. The Goyim know. The Goyim know. They know all the things that we have done. And now they're telling everyone. The Goyim know. The Goyim know. They know. The Goyim know.